Torway, North West London, Tuesday, the 22nd of March, Yutes Ador Beis, Rabbi Shlomo Weiss Shlita, is sunflower oil kidneys. This week's Torah Shiurim have been sponsored by Family Duna on the 14th yahrzeit of their father, Rabbi Nsiim Rabbi Avraham Moshe Halevi Duna, Zichrono Livrocha, whose yahrzeit was on Shabbos.
Okay, good morning everyone. When preparing this shiur, I thought it would be a few marmakovas, and then it snowballed into a lot of marmakovas, so I'm not sure if I'll be able to fit everything in into 26 minutes, but first of all, as far as halacha goes, this is a very minor question. It's almost funny to give an entire shiur on one small topic like this. However, in practical terms, it has quite a big impact, meaning, especially when one considers rising costs of food. I think I've been told there's some interest in the shiur, even from people who are, you know, wider community or people who don't always listen to the shiur. And actually, the when one looks in the tshuvas that talk about this, that is a primary concern of the poskim who talk about it, because they say, you know, that that was the case. The case happened to be when there were issues in terms of money and faniyim, etc. So that is a major point in halacha with regards to this question. Now, when I was growing up here in Northwest London, and I'm told decades ago as well, in England, all over England, whether you were at Gold's Green, Stamford Hill, East End, earlier, or Manchester, or anywhere, it was a given that you had two options for Pesach. You either were very staunchly traditional, and you used schmaltz. There are some Hasidim that will not use any refined oils, any bottled oils, for Pesach, even today. Particularly, I believe, in Satmar, in Williamsburg, and in Monroe, and other places, they will just not use any bottled oil. If you're willing to use bottled oil, the options pretty much were olive oil or sunflower oil. And that's what it was, and even the Heimische stores all sold sunflower oil, and that was the way it was. In more recent times, the last 30 years or so, there's been a discussion more whether sunflower oil is suitable for Pesach or not. Now, when it comes to cottonseed oil, is more recent, but it's also discussed by many poskim. Rav Padva had a Tshuva Cheshveif, very well known, Divrei Yatziv, and many others. But I want to focus on sunflower oil, if I may, and we'll see why I picked sunflower oil in particular. Besides the fact that it was the oil that pretty much anyone who bought an oil used here, and was considered not to be kidneyous at all. But now it's swung in a totally different direction. The typical response when you ask someone, is sunflower oil kidneyous? Yeah, of course it's kidneyous. What's the havam? And like, what's the shayla? If you look at kashrus agencies in America and Eretz Yisrael, they all just say it's kidneyous. And they've just made that decision. I'm not sure where they got it from exactly. It's not without any basis. Not to say, I'm not trying to say that there's no argument to be had, but it's certainly a little bit puzzling. So I think normally I would like to just dive straight into the tshuvas that talk directly about this. However, in order to understand some of the points, you kind of need to know a little bit of background. Now, I know most people are familiar with the general concept of kidneys, so I don't need to go at length through it, but I do need to just talk set a few points through. I'm going to try and translate as much into, I'm used to not translating certain words and names of works, so Sforim, but I'm going to try and translate as much, remember to translate as much as possible into English. So the origin of the minhag of kidneys, obviously we all know the Sfardim don't have this minhag at all, and they eat all sorts of items such as beans and peas and rice and millet and all these things. Where did it come from? There is talk in the Biagro and the Aruch HaShulchan of trying to find earlier sources, but the first written source is in the times of the Rishonim in around the 13th century in France. And the person who's quoted by three Svarim is the Smak, Yitzchak of Corbeil in France. He actually, in his own Sefer, doesn't write anything about this. It's in the Hagos of Rabbeinu Peretz to the Smak. It's also in the Sefer Mordechai, the back of Psochim. Mordechai ben Hillel was one of the main recorders of Ashkenaz Psak. He was killed in 1298 in a pogrom, in a massacre. But he is the record for a lot of the Balei HaTosfos, and it's in Tov Kuf Pei Ches. And the third is in the Hagos Maimoni. But I'm just going to stick with, for now, just the Hagos Rina Peretz, although I'll mention the Mordechai. But Mordechai has an interesting addition. So they bring down that there is this minhag, even though the way the Mordechai frames it, he says, the Rambam says clearly you can't be, there's no chometz issues other than the five grains, which are wheat, barley, oats, spelt, rye. Anything other than that is fine. And obviously anything like rice, we have a machlokes in the Gemara, but we paskin, there's no shail of chometz. However, they point out that this is something that even children know. Children are taught this is a very basic thing. So therefore, they're puzzled, what is it that we see? Who these chachomim hakadmonim are, it's unknown, because there is no record pre-13th century. But apparently there were people who were noyeg issa. At the very same time, they quote Rabbi Michiel of Paris, who ate beans on Pesach. They ate pul halavon. And there are others as well. The Beis Yosef in Tov Nun Gimel, before the Beis Yosef, the Tor actually points this out and says, "V'yesh oisrim lechel orez v'chol mini kitnius b'tavshil," because, and his explanation is because possibly there may be some cross contamination from wheat. V'chumr yisera hizu v'lo nogu kein. The Tor says we don't. This is not our minhag. The Tor is one of the major poskim of Ashkenaz. He says this is not our minhag. The Beis Yosef brings Rabbeinu Yerucham, who calls it a minhag shtus, and says that, he says, unless maybe they were machmon themselves, and v'lo yadati lama, I don't know why they would be machmon themselves, it seems very strange. However, all that aside, Lamaisa, the smak, the Hagos Rebes, the smak, etc., and the Mordechai, they all bring this down, and they all say that it's very difficult to be makel on something which previous generations were machme on. And they call it minhag hagun. Lizom kol mini kitnius. Interesting, the Mordechai uses a loshen legumes, which in loshen kodesh, it's the first time I've seen it written that way. And they give different explanations to this. In short, they all boil down to one might swap by mistake a grain with some other pulse or bean or something like a rice. And they talk about either that you cook it up in a pot, so rice or beans you might cook up in a pot in the same way you might cook up barley or wheat, or you might make it into a bread, or just simply you might switch them by chance. Now, again, to our ears, this sounds very strange, because I'm not going to mix one grain for the other, but you have to understand that we live in an age where everything comes neatly packaged with a barcode, with quality checks, etc., etc. Everything, we go to the shop, we don't even have to go to the shop, we click, and it comes to our door. But in the time of the Rishonim, even Pope 400 years ago, you went to the market, you bought a sack or a bag, and they're talking about going back to this now because of plastic and all that stuff, but you really didn't have labelled and clearly demarcated foods. You could very easily mix things up, but both at the point of the farm or collection, at the market, or in your own home. They were not nice. Everyone nowadays has Tupperware, has glass jars and all these things and labels, and none of this existed. So we can understand, if we think about it a bit, why this could be a genuine concern. The other point is chardal. Now chardal is going to, and this we can't go into right now, but that's going to be the point of perhaps debate about sunflower, which is that chardal, so it's mustard, which isn't considered really a kitnius, it would seem, doesn't really fit that category. However, it's called midi de migdon. And then the question becomes, what does this mean? It's midi de migdon. And therefore, that's also out. Now, the Mordechai and the Smak, the Gos Rimperet, they all refer to a Gemara in Hasoch HaSapoilim, in Bom Metzia. It's not clear which Gemara they're referring to. The Gemara, they say, understands that kitnius is called a midi de migdon. The printer in the Mordechai has, I think it's Peches on the base. However, if you look there, you won't find it. And there are different possibilities. It could be Pezayin Amud Aleph. It's not clear exactly which Gemara they were referring to. There doesn't seem to be one that says so. Okay, as I said, we're going to come back to this. But right now, if we just stop here for a second, before going into Midon, one can understand sunflower doesn't meet any of these criteria. Sunflower are not boiled up in a pot. They're not made into some sort of flour or bread. And it's very unlikely there to be cross-contamination because they don't, as we'll see, as mentioned, they don't grow near wheat. They don't have the right soil for it. And there's no reason, and they don't look anything like wheat either. If one actually looks at it, it's usually by the time you get it, it's dark black or grey, and it doesn't look like wheat either. So that there's at this point, one would just assume it's not in the category. Now, the second question is, and this is also important, the entire attitude of what exactly happened with Kitnius, was it a gezera or was it a minhag that developed? Now, I'm going to do this very briefly. In short, there seems to be a difference of opinion here. The truth is that if one thinks about it, just what the sources we've quoted, the the Torah and Rabbeinu Yeruchim, who quote, who say that this is a minhag shtus, or it's not something that we keep, it's very difficult to believe that they're calling it, they're using such lashonas, if it was a gezeira that's based and got up and said, you know, no more kitnius for you, that's it, it's over. If it's something which is a nagua om, they can maybe say, I see people do this and I don't know why they're doing it. Rabbeinu Yeruchim wouldn't write about something that's a minhag shtus, as I say, without looking into it or trying to find a makor for it. So it's that's the one side. It seems to be that it's this custom that we got from somewhere, which we don't know the exact origins of. Having said that, on the other hand, we see a total opposite way of looking at this from other Rishonim. One of probably the most well-known is the Maharil in Sefer Minhagim. Maharil goes so far as to say that if one doesn't keep the minhag of Kitnius, then one's over the Issa Torah of Lo Sosa. Right? To stray from the words of the Chachamim, it seems. And you're over the Doraisa for not keeping this minhag. The problem with this Maharil should be somewhat obvious. Lo Sosa is never for something even a later gezera, such as the 13th century. There's a machlokes Rambam and Ramban about Lo Sosa. The Rambam learns that it applies to Doraisas, meaning mitzvahs from the Torah, which are explained b'Torah Shebaal Peh. Chazal came and explained how you put on tefillin, how you keep Shabbos, all these things. And it also will include the gezeiros that Chazal made. And the Ramban, Shraz Chayakam, says he doesn't agree with that at all. Every Rabbanon's going to be a Doraisa now. And he says, no way, it's only on Doraisas. And Doraisas, which are not clearly written in the Torah, which are explained by Chazal, and that day you're over Lo Sosa. But both the Rambam and the Ramban would not say you're over Lo Sosa on a minhag, or even a later, Chen Rabbeinu Geshem, you're not going to be over Lo Sosa. So it's a bit difficult to understand what the Maharil meant. I'm not going to, you know, as I say, Al Toma Kablu Dati, I'm not going to say for sure, but it could be that the Maharil was speaking with exaggeration. I don't know if one's allowed to say that about the Gemara says about Chachamim, in the Gemara Chulin says, Dibru Chacham Lashon Havai, that they spoke with Guzma. So it could be that the Maharil saw a breach. He felt that it was necessary for people to keep this minhag. Remember, only about 100 or so years beforehand, it hadn't been such an established minhag. We've got the Torah and Rabbeinu Yeruchim saying, it's not, you know, we don't keep this. And Rabbeinu Peretz ate beans on Pesach. So if that's the case, maybe he felt the need to strengthen this minhag, or maybe he feels it's a gezeira taka, because he seems to be saying it's a gezeira from the Chachamim, and therefore he says a very strong terminology of Lo Sosa, even though I don't know if technically it is Lo Sosa. Also, one has to remember that the Sefer Minhagim and the Maharil wasn't written by the Maharil either. So it was recorded Minhagim, it wasn't a Psak Sefer that he wrote necessarily with his own wording. Okay, so why is that relevant? Because one of the nafkaminas, one of the differences of whether it's a gezeira or a minhag, affects what happens about one of the nafkaminas, not the only, but one of them is, what about foods that were not around at the time of the Rishonim? When you first mention that you can't eat beans and millet and rice, well, there were things like corn, which weren't really around, buckwheat, a lot of these things. I mean, today, the most recent one is quinoa. or quinoa, as they call it in Israel, and it's big machlokes whether that's a problem. Now, it does fit some of the criteria of kitnias. On the other hand, no one heard of this until recently, and therefore there can't be a minhag to asa, and this is a debated point as well, and this is a difference of attitude. And we're going to see that there was a huge machlokes, and this affects this question about sunflower as well. So again, we have two sides to the coin. On the one hand, we find that things like corn and buckwheat were added to the list, looking at the Shari Shimon Tofnon Gimel and other and Behetev and others, Chak Yaakov. They all bring down, there were other minim that came into use, and then we said, oh, no, this is all included in the original Gezerah. If you consider it a Gezerah, it's just banning all kitnias. So whatever fits that criteria, even if it wasn't around beforehand, we'll include it. Whereas if it's a minhag, then whatever was the custom is the custom. Whatever is not in the custom, you don't necessarily have to add to the list. Probably the most famous voice against the whole minhag of kitnias, or certainly in terms of adding to kitnias, was Chacham Tzvi. He's quoted by his son in Moruk Tzia, and he's also in his Tshuvas, and he's quoted by many other Sforim as well. In fact, pretty much all the Tshuvas refer to him. There's Minchas Knoas of
He was Svadi.
He wasn't Svadi. He was given that term when he learned in Sarajevo as a young, actually young teen. But he was from, I guess, what you call Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic, and he was the Rav. His name is Srihash Ashkenazi because he lived amongst Svadim for a while, and he was given that honorary title. But he was the Rav of the Ashkenazim in Amsterdam. So he's not. Certainly not. And his sons were Yaakov Emden. Was one of the wrote this one's main importance of the Rav Ashkenaz. Anyway, so as I say, and also the Chok Yaakov also is important on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. He also points this out that it's only a chumrah, and we should add chumras to chumras. So they were not happy to add to this point. And famously, also Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe, talks about this when he talks about peanut oil, where some people used to eat peanuts on Pesach, particularly the Litvaks. Used to eat peanuts on Pesach. I even heard, I don't know if it's true, but I heard even the Mei Yeshiva used to eat peanuts. And this was a common thing. And some people, though, especially in Yerushalayim, didn't eat peanuts. So they were asking whether you can use peanut oil on Pesach. And he basically points out that there's no consistent minhag for kitnias, and that everyone should keep whatever their minhag is and don't add to it, but don't take away either, and stick with that. So if you can eat peanuts on Pesach and have peanut oil, gesundheit, and if not, not. I believe that actually there was a time when Kadassia would give a hechsher to groundnut oil, which is pretty much peanuts, which is, they would use it for crisps and things. But anyway, okay, so that's one question. Number one, what is kitnias? So just to recap, what is kitnias? At the time of Rishonim, it's limited. Question number one, do we add to that list? And the second question is, in terms of the oil itself. Just to explain, why is that enough? Be a bit more clear that when it comes to sunflowers, obviously sunflowers came from Central America and North America, and they only came over to Europe around 1510. So they are, they're not mentioned in the Rishonim, they're not even mentioned in the early Achronim. And more importantly, generally speaking, people did not use pressed oils. It's only in the 1700s that they at all started to make oils really on an industrial scale from seeds. And more important, and this is the late 1700s, and the first factory for making oil from sunflower is a Ukrainian who made the first press in 1829. The first factory, the first mill for sunflower oil is 1834. That's how late we're talking. That was the first in the world, 1834. Why I'm stressing that is because if you think about it, because it's going to be, again, Nogea to some of the truers. So you see how late it is that Bechlal, anyone ever had sunflower oil to buy in a shop or on the marketplace. It's a very late oil. So the question then becomes about oil. I don't have the time to go into that in depth. There are tshuvas from various achronim who question, and there's a marashag in Chelik Beis Simon Mem Gimel who questions the entire minhag to ban kitnias oils. Is oil included in the minhag of kitnias at all? The truth is that it's quite clear from the Truma Sadesh and the Maril it does, but he suggests that wasn't a minhag that was taken on by everyone, because as I say, people didn't really use these types of oils at all. They weren't really around, certainly not in big quantities. There's also a truth of the Marasham and the Rav Yitzchok Chaim Inspector. The Marasham, I think, is Kuf, is Chelek Aleph Kuf Pei Gimel, I believe it is.
Is only because it's similar to wheat.
So yes, I'm going to explain. Mirza Shem, I will explain an important point about that soon. So, and they all talk about this idea of whether if you have, maybe if you prepare the oil before Pesach, then even whether to be a small amount of problematic ingredients, maybe that should be allowed. There are many, many cheshbonos. These are very long tshuvas, and unfortunately, I only have about 7 minutes left, so I'm not going to go into them. But one can look there, Rabbi Yitzchok Chonon's in Be'er Yitzchok Erechaim Yud Aleph. And as I say, but Lemaisa, leaving aside, I'm not chashon, you know, pushing away, but it seems that the Olam doesn't follow the Marasham and the Marashak and Be'er Yitzchok and others who are make all together an oil. And so we'll leave those for the moment. But it's definitely a sniff to be makel just in general. And certainly in times, I believe there's the Chasam Sofer who, at a time of rov or famine or lack of food, was allowed oil from kidneys as well. So there's that. Now, where does the first question directly of sunflower come up? So it's a tshuva of the Beis Shlomo. Beis Shlomo, the Shlomo Drimmer of Skala Podilska. Anyone knows where that is, in Galicia, and he was asked a question in Adar of Tofshin. Let's see, apologies, Tof Reish Chav Tes. So it's from 1869, and he is told by the Shoyel that there was a rov, apparently, we don't know who, but there was sunflower oil going out with a hechsher for Pesach. And what did he think about this? So there was sunflower being sold now. And what was his opinion? Now, Reish Shlomo basically has a very long tshuva. First, he takes him to task about the whole, his understanding of the Maril. We won't go into that. He basically has two arguments, both of which are a little bit puzzling, if not incorrect. One of them is that he wants to suggest that the sunflower may be the Shum Shemin of the Gemara, or the Mishnah. I'm not sure. He seems to have spoken to some sort of linguist or botanist, I don't know. But his own son makes a Hagah pointing out this can't be correct. The Marachesheth as well, who has a tshuva about sunflower, which we won't go into because there's pages and pages. But they all point out that from the Oruch, from the Gemara, there seems to be quite a number of riyas that it can't be Shem and Shum Shemin. Shum Shemin, first of all, is smaller. The Gemara says it's smaller than a grain of wheat, whereas sunflower seeds are bigger than a grain of wheat. They're the wrong color, and etc. etc. So that taina is just out. It's just incorrect. Again, it's speculation because which he even sort of himself hints may not be correct. Then he says, even if that's not correct, I think this is a problem because it's Midi de Migdon. Here we come to the Midi de Migdon. And what's his Midi de Migdon? So rather than quoting the Rishonim Ashkenaz who talk about Midi de Migdon, such as the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen says Midi de Migdon is you might swap it, you might mistake it for wheat. It's grain-like, or possibly, depending on how you understand the reference in the Mordechai and the Smak about Haseches Apoilim, that seems to be to do with harvesting, right? Because the Gemara's the main part of the Gemara talks about grain is talking about Maestros, and when is the end of the Melacha, when is the end of the work, and then your Chayv and tithing of Maisa of Tvuah, and then it talks about Kidneys there as well, and it seems to be making it into a Kree, making it into a pile on the floor. Well, that's the finishing of the melacha. And instead, Beis Shlomo tells you to go to Rambam in Kilayim, where the Rambam discusses three types of zroinim, types of seeds, and splits them into grain, kidneys, and other types of zroinigina. And in short, it's very puzzling, first of all, what has Kilayim got to do with the minig of kidneys? Number one, what's one got to do with the other? Why he ignored the smak who he quotes? That's the basis of the minag. He doesn't take his definition. He tries to find this one in the Rambam. And also, the Rambam's definition doesn't seem to work because Kitnius and Midzit Migdon, the way he understands it, are different. He compares it to Pishton, to flaxseed. And yet they're both, in the Rambam, they're two different things. So the Beis Shlomo is very difficult as it is. However, the Beis Shlomo was a very important posek, a respected posek, and therefore many quote him on this. Just skipping forward, the first person to disagree with this was Rav Meir Arik. Rav Meir Arik was a very important posek in Galitzia and Buchach, and he writes basically in a shorter version what I've said, and he disagrees with the Beis Shlomo. He says Midah D'Migdon is to do with you make a kri, and he quotes a run in the Dorim and Nunhei, and the whole idea that you ban something because it grows. There is this idea that maybe it looks like anything that looks like a grain would be osur. So what would that be? That would be if the seeds grow on the stalk itself. So like with wheat, you'll have the seeds on the stalk. So too, and this is the explanation of the Taz for Charadon, that mustard is banned because it grows on from the stalks. So he says, but that's limited to Charadol. It's not the definition of kitnius because all the other kitnius don't grow that way. So he's, as I say, sorry, I'm rushing through this a bit because we're running out of time. But this is his argument to this. The Beis Sha'orim brings all this. It doesn't actually refer to Beis Shlomo, and he writes a tshuva and writes clearly that the Kshoyel was it makes it clear he's one of the tshuvas. There's a few that point out everyone used to use goose fat, interestingly enough, and in 1881 it was very expensive, and he asked if you could use sunflower oil. So he goes through all the definitions. He says it's not something you cook in a pot, it's not something which you make into bread, it's also doesn't grow on the stalk. Sunflower grow from the bulb, from the actual flower. It doesn't grow on the stalk itself. And he writes clearly, he says, it's not a shayla of kitnius at all, doesn't start. He says, because I'm being matir something which is new, he wrote to the Yetiv Lev, you seal the Taitabam, the Rav of Sigurd, who was the forerunner of Satmar, and he says to him, you know, what do you think? And he writes back clearly, and his Loshen is, that this is not kitnius at all. However, having said that, he doesn't want to allow, it because... maybe, you know, it's basically, you call me a based in Shor Mishcha, but I don't want to be maker, I don't want to allow a new thing, it's a new thing, I don't want to allow new things for Pesach. But he says, his actual words, he says, Hadin imoy ki einom min kitnius klal. So the sigata, the yetra says, clear, it's not kitnius. The Sama don't use any oil, so he says it. It's not. And he also here doesn't want to use. The background I should have mentioned here. He doesn't want to use Shemen Zayis either. He says one of his considerations is maybe the sunflower will get mixed up with olive oil. Okay, what's wrong with olive oil? So olive oil is also not even kitnius. It's also not. So the Dagon Ravava talks about how olives are a davar chorif, and maybe the mill will be used for chometz, and it's a problem. The Beis Shlomo, who doesn't allow sunflower, who's the major, doesn't allow walnut oil, and he doesn't allow olive oil. And he doesn't say make it with a hechsher, he just doesn't allow it. So this is what I'm trying to explain. The background is no oil, so use goose fat. There are others as well, which I won't go into. I mean, there's a tshuva of Hisoris tshuva, which is Shimon Sofer, the grandson of the Chatzim Sofer, through the Ksav Sofer. And he, again, doesn't quote any of this, and he just... it's ironic because his at the top of his Agdoma, at the top of every line, at the top of every page, it says Ein Lismeich al Arozu Klal. He was very on off. He didn't want anyone to fuck. He goes, oh, don't. But he's emphatic. He says it's not kitnius. He goes through all this. Nothing. It doesn't grow on the stalk. Nothing. It's not kitnius. He doesn't bring an opposing argument or any sort. That's it. He just says it's not. The one who possibly had a very big influence was the Minchas Aloza. The Minchas Aloza of Munkach. He says that, I think it's a Chelik Dalet Siman Lamed, and he says that, you know, Lemaisa, even though the Beis Shlomo was a great Poisek, and the Sigata also didn't allow it, but Halach of Lo Lemaisa, he didn't want to allow it, so we shouldn't allow it. Then he comes up with a suggestion that it's a Suffolk, maybe it grows on the stalk. Is this considered growing on the stalk or not? And therefore, and since it's a Suffolk in Kitnius, we should be machmeh, which again is a bit taking the Maharil's idea that you've got to be machmeh with kinyas, as opposed to the Chayk Yaakov and all others who say you don't. And then he comes up and he says, but also, there's sunflower growing all over the place here. Why did no one use it until now? So it must be Bal Karchuch. It's as if it's a Huchsak HaKoyl that it's kinyas. He comes at this idea. Now the problem, there's twofold. First of all, the Marashag actually writes about this. Marashag writes the opposite. He says, we don't even use oil during the year, never mind on Pesach. No one uses sunflower. If you're telling me everyone uses sunflower during the year, and Pesach they don't use it, so then you can say, it's Huchsak HaKoyl that it's kinyas. But no one was using sunflower during the year. And in fact, actually, as I mentioned, the Minchasalozo was nifted in 1934. The first factory for sunflower only started in 1834. So definitely, I don't know what year this tshuva was, but less than 100 years before this tshuva, there was no sunflower oil being made in the world. So to say that ki'ilu midoris kadmoinim, we never heard that people made or allowed sunflower oil is a bit strange. He actually quotes, apparently there was a rov in the time of his father who did allow sunflower oil, and his father wasn't happy about it. And again, I suspect it was also more to do with the fact that it was a new oil that no one had ever used for Pesach. Naya Zachen, for Pesach, they didn't want to allow it. But as we've seen, I would say, leaving aside any of the other poskim, Marshag, Marsham, and Bei Yitzchok, anyone like that, basically, with the exception of maybe the Beis Shloima, no one has an argument at all to say sunflower is kinyas at all. Even the Beis Shloima's arguments, one is totally incorrect, factually and mitzad the Gemara, and the other one, to I say it's a midi de migdan, at least I would say the strong weight, the vast majority of poskim say it's nothing doing, and they write just quite clearly it doesn't. It's not classified as kidneys, doesn't meet any of the criteria of kidneys. And therefore, whilst in certain circles, even to this day, people do not use bottled oil, they will use only schmaltz. But if someone is going to use bottled oil, the minhag has always been, the last several generations, to always allow sunflower oil, and it's not considered kidneys, despite following the vast majority opinion that sunflower oil is not at all kidneys, and therefore, that's why, certainly here at least, the minhag is still that people do use sunflower oil for Pesach.